God here at Kenton. Only Believe. We're excited to have you guys with us tonight. Can you guys give God a hand clap of praise tonight? He's here. The herd might be a little bit thin, but you guys are extremely important to what God wants to do tonight. So we pray that you come expecting, ready to receive from the Lord, because I know that He is ready to do a great thing in each one of our lives tonight. So thank you guys for coming out tonight, and let's get excited about what God's going to do.
Y'all ready to worship the Lord? You came out on a Thursday night when it looks like a lot of people stayed home. I guess you are ready. Amen?
I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. You pitch me up, you turn me around, and place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you heal my heart, you change my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you heal my heart and change my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. We'll be right back.
Like the world has never seen. Yes, I Take me there if what you need is just an offering. right here. My life is here, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're a fire, the refiner. I wanna be consumed. I wanna be tried by fire. Purify. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I wanna be tried by fire. Purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. A sacrifice. I wanna burn for you, only for you.
Clean my hands,
clean my hands.
Purify my heart. I wanna burn for you, only for you.
Purify.
looking at ourselves more than we're looking at anything else, take it. Father, if we have any other gods before you, take it. Lord God, if we have pride or unbelief, take it. If we have anger, if we're jealous, if we covet other people's stuff, take it. Lord, if we judge people wrongly, take it. Lord God, if we use the pity card all the time, take it. Lord God, you are our strength. You are our peace. Take whatever doesn't please you out and fill us with you. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Worthy are you, Lord God. Amen, amen, amen. God is good, amen. God is so good. You know, this is crazy, but who's supposed to be doing offering? Okay, praise the Lord. All right, well, just a few announcements that we have. Don't forget that Wednesdays is our intercessory prayer at 5. And so they come in here, they pray. I'm telling you, it's amazing. If you feel led to, or just come in and be with them. Just come in. Amen? They'll get you going. They'll get you praying. And we're going to do a cleaning of the church tomorrow at 9. And if you are available to come out and help, please come out at 9 o'clock and help if you're able to. And then our countertops are being delivered tomorrow. Yay! So after that, we'll get the water hooked up, and then our kitchen will be good. Amen? Amen. That's exciting. Yeah. Oh, Saturday at 9, clean the church. Okay, Saturday. You told me tomorrow. Okay. No, it's probably me. There's something that happens to you, and I'm still, I feel your prayers, and I appreciate it. There's something that happens to you when your parents pass away, and it takes a moment to really push through that thing. And it's just because we love them so much, we miss them, and you know, sometimes there's just things that you just wish you would have said or done. Or so do whatever you can right now with your parents alive. Amen? Yes. Just telling you, God gave them to you. Yes. Love them. Take care of them. Yes. Amen. So I guess it's me doing the offering tonight, because it seems if nobody else is doing it, and I just came back in. I'm kind of rusty at this. So I'm just going to have the bucket set out. We're going to go through this again. I want to be tried. We're going to go through that. And let's just make offering part of our worship tonight. This could be one of the things he needs to clean us out of, is the fear of giving and honoring his word and tithes and offering. Who knows? Amen? So we're just going to kind of go back into that. And if you'll set the buckets out, we'll be good. Here all night, and I was just walking here, and I was saying most of these words, God, burn me up. I don't want anything left of me. And this song started to come on. So probably for the last 4 months, this song has been ever so present in my mind and in my heart, because I'm telling you, there's some stuff being burned up and it's good. Might be a little uncomfortable and rough, but in the end, it's going to be all worth it. Amen? Amen. So really, truly, dig in. Let him clean you up. Let him get you more like him. Amen? Well, we are blessed tonight. We have been blessed with our bodkins and our, children can go. Sorry. Our some bodkins pastors, and then we have our Urbana pastor, Pastor Kylan. He's coming to bring us the word tonight. Let's thank him for coming. Excited to hear you. Listen, tried and true, this man, as faithful as the day is long, not just with natural things, but with the things of the kingdom. So I'm excited to hear what he's got for us tonight.
Well, thank you. I got this one here. Oh, is this all right? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Somebody's phone's up here. Should I answer? Oh,
no. Yeah. Okay. No, nobody's going to call. Last time it was my niece telling me my dad passed away, so hopefully that don't happen again.
Well, hi. It's good to be with you tonight. How many of y'all are happy to be here? Anybody? Oh, good. I'm glad you're happy to be here. I'm happy to be here, and it's always good to be among friends and family of faith. And actually, last time I was here, I did not have my wife, Margaret, with me, so that's her sitting right there. So say hi to her before you leave tonight. Believe it or not, she's nice. You can talk to her. She'll be kind to you, maybe. No, I'm kidding. And certainly our respect and honor for pastors Phil and Regina. We love them, and we're excited about what God has been doing, is going to keep doing here. And you talk about your countertops coming. I resonate with this so much, because I don't know if you know about us. We, the Urbana Church, since the end of last year, we've been renovating a building that we purchased. So we are just in constant renovation. So I identify with something coming you're excited about and getting done. So we're excited for you about that. But we're actually seeing the light at the end of the tunnel of our renovation. We purchased an old school brick church, you know, with the full basement and the kitchen and all this different stuff in it. So we've been renovating like crazy. It's been fun. I'm over it, but it's been fun. But it's real exciting, because in December, the carpet's coming for the basement for our kids' church, which is really cool, but that means we have a lot of stuff to get done before it comes. So, but it's light at the end of the tunnel, so when we get there, we can relax for a little bit, so it's going to be nice. So, but we identify completely with the ongoing projects in a church, amen? Now, Margo and I, we've been living a good life recently, because since August, we've been empty nesters. It's been amazing. I'm just like, what in the world? But anyhow, I'm praying for you, because you were about where I'm at, but now you're starting over. So, bud, more power to you. But my youngest is Hope, and she went to Cornerstone University up in Grand Rapids. And my oldest son, Ryan, lives in Idaho. I don't know, Idaho. We were actually out there not long ago. He's a mechanical engineer out there, and we were hiking with him in the mountains of Idaho. We were 35 miles from the Canadian border, so we were up there, you know, up in the top of Idaho. And my middle son, Gavin, got married this summer, and him and my daughter-in-law, Maddie, they're doing good. I think Gavin's at our house right now eating our food. Anyhow, mostly empty nesters till Gavin comes eats our food. Anyway, so... But we've been living life, and it's been fun. But we're glad to be with you. I just want to encourage you tonight. Is that okay? Nothing deep, nothing hard, nothing super long here. I just want to take a few moments and encourage you. So whenever the campus pastors, we have an opportunity to jump around to the other campuses, which we like to do. What we just love to do is encourage each other. So having said that, you can get your Bibles out, Matthew chapter number 16, and we're going to hit like, I don't know, three or four different scriptures tonight. So Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, and so you guys know that, and you know this, but let me just reaffirm this to you. You are the church. Amen. And not only are you the church, but we're the church that meets together. Amen. Then there's the worldwide body of church, the community of believers around the world that have been saved, and we're learning to follow the Jesus way together, to learn to live the Jesus way together, and we are the church. Amen. And I want to encourage you because, you know, Jesus, obviously, in his life and his ministry and the things that he did, and then he's crucified, there's the climax, not only of his ministry, but it's really the climax of human history. Jesus dies on the cross and is the linchpin to everything of human history. It happens right there. Then he raises from the dead. Everything that he said and he did, God backs up by raising him from the dead. And then he appears to some, and there's some more things happen. Then he ascends. Then he sends what? The Holy Spirit. Who? Not the what, the who. The Holy Spirit comes. Amen. And the Holy Spirit empowers. And the Holy Spirit's in the world doing the work of the Spirit and the activity of the Spirit. But what Pentecost, when the Spirit comes, the church age is born. And we are still living in the church age today until Jesus comes again. And we are the church. We're tethered to the history of the church. We're bound to it. We are the church and what we are. And then we faithfully pass it along to the generations behind us. That's what we do. But we are the church. And the thing about the church is, by the way, you are saved personally, right? But you're saved into a community also. You're not meant to do this alone. Though you can try to do this alone, you're not meant to do this alone. You're saved into something. And it's the body of Christ. How many know you're part of a body? Let me see. And the body, by the way, let me just, a little side note here. When it comes to the church and the body, I don't know about you, but I want all my body parts working and present and doing what my body's supposed to do, right? You know what I'm saying? So it's, you're not only meant to not do this alone because the benefit to you, but you're not meant to do it alone because you're a benefit to others in the body. And you can't forget that. So I say all that to get to Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. And here we have Peter proclaiming the great revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. Remember, Jesus asked him, well, who do people say that I am? You know, and they've given these different answers. All the things that he's doing, he's raising questions. People are starting to wonder about him. But he's with the disciples and he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter responds, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in verse 18, he says, I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my what? My church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that should, for those of you that are the church, we're the church, that should bring a resounding amen. That the church is being built. And those who are being built are the ones, the people who have received the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, and we respond in faith. And we begin a life living in this revelation of who Jesus is and what that means and how it changes and how it shows to live in this world. But this whole entire time, whether or not you feel like it, whether or not you understand it, no matter what is happening, Jesus is building his church. But he's not building this building, although we'd like him to help do that. I understand. We're renovating, all right? If he's building his church and you're the church, what is he building? You. Right? And he is building us together. You are learning to live the Jesus way, and we're learning how to live the Jesus way together. We're the church. And this whole entire time, those who submit to his building are being built. Now watch this. So Pentecost, roughly 2,000 years ago, right? Church age started. And here we are on a Thursday night in a place called Kenton, meeting together as the church. 2,000 years later. Why are we still meeting together on a Thursday night in Kenton on this wonderful fall day, because Jesus is still building his church. And he's building you. And by the way, every time you come and you park your car out here and they see the lights on in this place, everybody who drives by this place on a Thursday and a Sunday when you're gathered for prayer, you are an effectual witness that in this world there are people who still believe and their belief drives them to gather together. Because we're doing this together. But the thing about the church being built is, notice what he says. I'm going to build my church. Now here's the encouraging part. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see that? This is a prophetic proclamation that Jesus makes about what is coming, because the church wasn't birthed yet when he said this. He's gathering people. He's bringing people in, right? And he's teaching or trying to figure things out. And they're sometimes a little confused about what's happening. I thought it was going to be this way. And now this is happening. I don't know about this stuff. What do you mean about picking up a cross? I don't know about that mess. And they're figuring it out, right? But then Pentecost, and the wonderful thing about Pentecost, they come out of the upper room and they're speaking in tongues, right? Remember? And people are like, this is a little weird. Maybe these guys have been drinking a little too early today, right? And Peter's like, hey, we're not drunk. And there were people there when they're speaking in tongues, different people from different places, and they're hearing the proclamation of the good news of God in their own language. And it was very symbolic that now the salvation has come to the world through the covenant faithfulness of God through the Jewish people, but now it's for all people because they're hearing the proclamation in their own language. Very symbolic. And the church is now going to go forth and be built in this world. This entire time, Jesus is building his church, and the gates of hell, or what death is about and what death brings and the eternal separation of death, will not prevail against those who are in the church. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that and I really grab that, it really encourages me. Now, you know how the Apostle Paul, in some of his writing, he calls himself the chief sinner. You ever see that? He calls himself, I'm the chief sinner. You are the only person that's allowed to call yourself the chief sinner. You can't call somebody else the chief sinner, but you can call yourself that, right? You see what I mean? That's what he's doing. So I say that to say this. I know me, okay, and I know all about me, and I know a lot of things about me because the Holy Spirit is working on me. But yet, even though I know me, I know that I am being built by Jesus through the activity of the Holy Spirit. And I know that even though I know all about me, the gates of hell will not prevail against me. Is that right? What I know about this gathering here together that you guys do on Thursdays and Sundays, what I know about this is, even though I don't know you as personal as I know me, I do know this. You are being built by Jesus through the activity of the Holy Spirit, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Now, you got to understand something. Sometimes people want to see things like this and say, well, but you know, the times that we are living in, and certainly I don't have to say much about it, but we live in some pretty, you know, I don't know, maybe the word intense times, very loud and angry times, right? A lot of rhetoric. You see what I'm saying? A lot of division. So much so that there's a lot of people going, wait a minute, are we in the last days? This book of Revelation stuff? I'm hearing a lot of stuff like that. Okay, I'm not going to go into that. But just say this. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church that Jesus is building starting 2,000 years ago. And no matter the political climate, no matter the working society, no matter the depravity of society at the time, whatever was happening 1,000 years ago, In those same things, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church in that time, and it did not. 500 years, and today, no matter what is happening in our society, in our world, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And if the Lord tarries and we're here in another 500 years, guess what? The gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church in 500 years. And the church will still exist, and we will still be passing our faith down to the next generation through the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To the point that if you go to John chapter 10 and verse number 28, let me just point something else out here. John chapter 10 and verse number 28, and this is in the chapter of Jesus, the proclamation, one of the great seven I am statements of the Gospel of John. I am the good shepherd. And in verse 28, he's talking about the fact that he and the Father are one. Some Trinity theology there. And he says, John 10, 28, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And watch this. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So you realize that there is no outside force that is able to take you out of the Father's hand. You are secure. I don't care what is happening in society. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care what anything. They cannot take you from the eternal life which you have in Christ Jesus. Not possible. Be encouraged. And this is all built on the fact that God is faithful. Now, here's something. We're going to get to that in a second. But since the early church started, right away, so Pentecost happens, Peter preaches this great message, thousands are saved, the church is spreading, and the people that followed Jesus, they carried on some of the practices, those that were Jewish anyway, carried on the practices, they were still meeting in the temple courts, still gathering together, but now they're gathering together in what they understand and knew now in the revelation of Jesus. They're breaking bread together. They're devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings, right, which is the eyewitness accounts of Jesus and the things that Jesus taught. They're gathering together. They're breaking bread in the sense of remembrance of Jesus in the bread and the cup. They're doing all these different things. The church is growing, but listen, right away, immediately, the church begins to face opposition. Right away, from the start. From the start, the church experiences persecution. Right away from the start. Wasn't long then before you had false teaching and some heresy trying to creep into the teachings that were being given. So the church is now trying to ward against this stuff. You find, certainly, when you read through the epistles of Paul and Peter and John, now there's troubles in the church when people are meeting together. They're not getting along, and there's issues. So now they're dealing with issues just because people come together. All on the top of the fact that they're still trying to understand and live this Jesus way and deal with the fact that there's sin and what it means to live in holiness and all this different stuff. They're facing things from the start. But the reason said Jesus told them before, he's going to build them and the gates of hell won't prevail against them, even though they're going to start facing all these things. So the church begins to be encouraged. Right away, they start to be encouraged. Jesus did it in his teachings. You find it all through the epistles and the letters of Paul and so forth. You start to see words like endure. Persevere. Stand firm. Faithful. You start to see this right away because immediately there's opposition, there's persecution. All these different things are happening. And right away, one of the main messages you find in the church that we still find today that we need is endure. Persevere. Stay faithful. Keep running the race. Don't give up. Stand firm. As a matter of fact, the call.